I'm truly convinced now that if the spiritual connection's there, anything's possible with the other three.
Right. Where are you going to set your mind? Where are you going to set your heart? But it's also that spiritual of where are you going to surrender today? What are you going to surrender? Right, if I'm going to live this other 167, it's got to be a mind and a heart.
There are some sins that drag me down that won't drag you down.
Right. When you go to a Christian for advice, and we always tend to go to God as the answer.
But he is. I mean, that's like, it doesn't matter. There have been so many things. I'm getting worked up now. I'm sorry. It's just one of those things that I'm sorry, but with him, anything's possible. And without him, it doesn't matter what you do. You ain't going to get it right.
A lot of Christianity in America, we don't have committed Christians. The heroes of my faith is not the first part of chapter 11. The people that are faithful to God when you can't do nothing. To me, those are my heroes.
As long as I know I'm where he wants me, I don't care. That peace and that humility and that freedom comes from understanding that whatever he's doing, I trust him.
Yep. It's easy to be faithful when everything's going right. Being faithful regardless of your circumstances.
My college buddies think I'm crazy when I say this. I had never eaten Sheetz food until like a couple years ago.
Right.
I'd never asked. I mean, I thought it was...
Well, it's a gas station.
I know it's good gas station food, but it's still gas station food, right? And then I tried it one time and I was like, oh, wow.
Yeah. Listen, their hamburger, good. I know Nate and his friends, when they were in high school, they'd eat at Sheetz all the time. And the mozzarella sticks, you know, what teenagers eat.
Yeah.
But I said, you know what? I've been eating a lot of salads lately. And I said, you know what? I'm gonna try it. I said, what? How bad can it be?
Yeah.
And John Brown, that was one of the best little salads I've eaten in my life. Had a lot of ham in it, avocado.
But what are you getting a salad for?
I'm just trying to. I'm going to be 202 by the end of the year.
So that's
it's on recording now.
Is that
what?
30 pounds?
What?
Is that 30 pounds?
No. Well, it was at the end of last year when I put it to you this way. There was a movie called Iron Claw. All right. Uh-huh. I probably wouldn't recommend it to our listeners unless you are a wrestling fan. And I grew up a wrestling fan my whole life. Uh-huh. And so the Von Erichs were a family down in Texas. One of the guys, one of the brothers' name was Kevin. He weighed in at 202 when he wrestled. And I've always wanted to be 202 because to me, that's a good weight, 202.
Welcome back to the other 167. Garrett Lill, Kenny Lewis, Ben Pierce.
I tell you what, I got a topic I'll bring up. I'm going to ask you, Kenny. I think you're going to like this question. How much of it is mental? How much of it is spiritual? And is it because I hadn't thought it all the way through, but I know there's a big piece of both. And when I say mental, not just necessarily not a mental illness type thing, just how much of it is mental and how much of it is spiritual?
You mean for sin?
No, as far as choosing and making those choices and walking in that joy and all that. I'm just curious if you, would you even say it, or would you say it's all spiritual?
I wouldn't say it's all spiritual.
Yeah.
We have to make that choice.
Yeah, you have to make that choice.
We have to make that choice every day. I have to make it up every morning I get up. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that.
Who's going to call the shots in my life today?
Yeah. I think it's a
choice. That's a big choice. Yeah.
But we have to initiate it, and he'll see us through. It's, the Bible, we always have to come first to him. Seek first the kingdom of God. Yeah. Pray without ceasing. Or if you seek me with your whole heart, I will answer. So we have to be willing to give it up, then he'll take it from there, I guess. Yeah.
No, I think you're right. You're exactly right. And I think it's one of, I don't know if I can put a percentage on it, but I think it's almost borderline. I don't want to say it's 33 and a third. And what I would almost say is it mental, spiritual, and physical? I think it's more mental and spiritual. Mental is this: be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Set your mind on the things that are above. You see, oftentimes what determines our path and our attitudes and where we're going to end up, it's where we set our minds.
Right.
If we think we're going to have a crappy day, guess what you're going to have? You're going to have one of those days. If you think, okay, Lord, you got this. Your mind
attitude
determines that.
Yeah.
But then there's a big piece of it that says, all right, what my mind has been set on, now I have to live by the Spirit. And the Spirit now controls me, leads me. And so that goes with a little bit of mind and body.
I think what you're saying, what I'm hearing is your body follows your mind.
Sure does.
Yeah.
How else is it going to be transformed?
Yeah.
That's to be changed on the outside and on the
Jesus
inside.
Jesus talked about that. It's not what goes in your body, it's what comes out of it.
That's right.
Yeah, so.
Well, I think we've neglected.
The battlefield of the mind.
I feel like now we're leaving one thing out from seventh grade health class, which was emotional health, too. In health class, there was spiritual health, physical health, mental health, and emotional health.
Right.
And I think that when you said when you started dividing up into thirds, I thought we were going to add emotional health.
I was talking about how you live, being that would be the physical part.
Yeah.
And emotional heart. And see, I tend to think that and not always, because there's always people that might be imbalanced or some other, you know, whether it's hormone deficiencies, things like that. But I believe oftentimes the emotions follow the physical and mental. Again, set your mind on those things. Now, again, emotions can range.
Yeah.
And we talked a little bit about that last week with, all right, so where does truth come in when our emotions are all over the place? Well, the truth should come in to kind of help balance those.
Mental and emotional is hard to distinguish between sometimes in our world.
I
think that what I would weigh in on this would be to say that this, and you're saying it, I think, mm-hmm. the spiritual controls all of the other three.
Yeah.
You know, if I try to mentally improve my spiritual health, it won't work.
Right.
But my spiritual health will improve my mental health, it'll improve my emotional health, and it can improve your physical health. And then I think the part that I'm not quite answering is that your physical decisions
mm-hmm.
are going to start to play into all of those.
Right.
Eventually, yeah.
100%.
Physical, yeah, your body breaks down.
I can be as happy as I can be and as mentally healthy as I can be and spiritually connected as I can be. If I'm physically sinning, it's going to come back and bite me. Mm-hmm. 100%. And then that's going
to
domino.
And that kind of goes back to 1 Corinthians 4. I used that recently in 1 Corinthians 4, 2 Corinthians 4. Sorry about that. I have to look it up. But I used it recently in a funeral of, our outer shell, if you will, our outer body is decaying daily. Mm-hmm. But the inner man is being renewed day by day by day. And so I think it's one of, the body has a part of that. I guess that's what I'm trying to figure out is, all right, so how much of it is, all right, I'm going to set my mind on the things that are above. I'm gonna be transformed by the renewing of my mind. So I'm going to fill my mind with the scriptures. All right, so how does that impact everything else? And my argument or my thesis, I guess, would be is I think it impacts everything pretty heavily. Doesn't mean everything's going to work right or do that, but at the same time, I believe it impacts how we'll think, act, and feel.
It's so hard for me to distinguish between. To me, the spiritual is in its own category. Honestly, like I couldn't even really to even try to say, well, the spiritual affects all these other things. Yeah, if one thing is controlling all the other three things below, then to me they're not even in the same category anymore. It's a what first comes this, then comes that. Because I can give examples of all of these. I mean,
yeah.
I think the mental is a pretty easy one to work your way through or to think of examples or whatever. Physically, though, I mean, I'll give an example of this. So during COVID, look, I drank like a fish during COVID. It was almost socially acceptable, it seemed like, at that time to drink too much, and I drank way too much. And at the end of COVID, at the end of that year, I remember for no other reason than I just knew that it wasn't sustainable. Like, I just knew, physically speaking, if I keep doing this, it doesn't matter if it's a sin or not. I'm not going to live much longer if I keep doing it like this. Like, there's just no way. So I tried to quit. And first 3 days, I had the worst headache I've ever had in my life for 3 days. And I made a comment, or not the worst, it was a pretty rough headache, though, for 3 days. Felt like I was hungover for 3 days, and I wasn't drinking. And I said something to a buddy of mine, and he's like, well, yeah, what you've been drinking, I wouldn't be surprised if you don't have some physical that's kind of coming back on you a little bit.
Your body's craving it and everything, yeah.
Yeah, and I could say the same thing about other habits, physical habits, things like that I've had a hard time quitting in the past. And I kind of have touched on this before with that, but any of these things that God's tried to clean up in the last 6, 8, 9, 10 months, none of them have come with that.
Right.
Okay. I mean, now there might still be a mental urge or an emotional urge or something, but the physical side, I've seen it change the physical.
Right.
100%.
Oh, yeah.
And I've definitely seen it change the emotional side, in that you can be in the exact same circumstances, this day versus that. And when the spiritual piece is there, you don't notice it emotionally.
Yep.
When the spiritual piece is not there, it comes back with a vengeance and tries to make up for lost time that it didn't get yesterday. With, you know, so I think it's all the above. I mean, I'm truly convinced now that if the spiritual connection's there, anything's possible with the other three.
Right.
And there's it can, and I know that there are. I'm not trying to say that in a way that like if you have if you are facing a physical challenge and it's not and it's still there that you're not connected with God. It's not that it's always.
But those things are real and they happen.
But he can. There's nothing that you can bring to me and say I'm facing this challenge that I would admit to you. I don't think God can handle that one.
Right.
He can. It's like you wrote down that time. What can God not handle? Mm-hmm. Nothing.
That's right.
Well, yeah, but he messed it up.
He did.
I want to be clear. He messed it up.
He said, and then he tried to blame it on you. He said, you asked the wrong question.
And he was sitting over there writing.
How did you ask that?
Huh?
You asked it wrong.
And he was sitting over there, I got one.
Yeah. but going back, I think it's one of, and I think that's, maybe that's the answer to, you know, the other 167 is that spiritual, where you're going to set your mind, where you're going to set your heart, Where as a man thinketh, so is he. Yeah. But it's also that spiritual of where are you going to surrender today? What are you going to surrender? How are you going to go about that? And I think that's really the hard part of, if I'm going to live this other 167, it's got to be a mind and a heart. And maybe that's why he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your body, all your soul.
You remember the basketball story I told for a few weeks back where I was shooting basketballs and I couldn't make anything and then I just started to really try to just find that peace and then everything started going in. Okay, well then what changed? Was it mental? Well something physically changed to make the ball start going in. I don't have a clue what, but anybody that follows sports at all knows that most of the time if I'm not a good basketball player by any means, but when you have the physical ability to do something, then whether you do it every time or once out every 50 times is usually more mental than it is physical.
Yeah.
So was that me going, I mean, there was a 100% correlation between like 2 for 10 and then start trying to, you know, find that piece and I hit 9 out of 10. All right. And it was a 1-to-1 correlation between. Now, was it physical that changed, mental that changed? I don't know, but the spiritual changed.
Right.
I know that. And then when I started getting fixated on that and lost the spiritual, started missing again.
Right.
So it affects all of it to pinpoint the lack of desire to drink or the lack of desire for any sin, okay? Does that come from him changing the physical? Is it changing the emotional? Is it changing the mental? I don't know if I can nail that down, but I do know it was the spiritual change that changed.
And I think they're in line. Yeah.
The start.
I think that's what is the catalyst, if you will. And that one at times is a full body, you know, because I've always made the, all right, so if you know there's a temptation and you know that the line is right there in the middle of that table, then, hey, don't just try to get as close to the line and then pull back and see how you can handle it and how strong you are. No, there's the line. Then here's the line. I don't even want to get to that point. And so that's, but that also is a mental slash stop and think about it, a little bit of a spiritual of, okay, I want to make sure I'm walking in a way that pleases him too.
The reason I brought the question up was I just wanted to, hey, let's wrestle with that because I've been wrestling with that in a long way. It's kind of like Philippians, when Paul says,
you work out your own salvation, do it with fear and trembling. But then he goes on a little bit further, and he basically says, I do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's not I who live, but Christ now lives in me. Wait a minute. I thought it was I was working out my own salvation, but now it's Christ in me. And so it's one of those of how does that all work out? And I think that's what I'm getting at is setting your mind, setting your heart. And there are decisions you make, but there's also things that he does that you know, Are you going to get in the boat and let him drive, or are you just going to start swimming?
What's the word for salvation in the Greek on that?
Sozo.
I mean, is that the word that they're using? Okay. I was just curious.
I mean, it's basically work out your own faith, work out your own salvation.
But is he talking about not being saved?
No, he's not talking about being saved.
Your life.
He's just talking about,
Well, sometimes I think that some things that are wrong with me, that I think are wrong, not it's not wrong with you. Right. And we're just different people. That's kind of where I tend to probably go in that direction. You know, there are some things will just bother you. It's not that they're they probably offend you. Well, I can just overlook it because that doesn't weigh me down. And it's not. I would say, you know, there's black sins, which, you know, we know those, the top 10, Galatians tells us all witchcraft and all that. But there are some sins that drag me down, or some things that will drag me down that won't drag you down.
Right.
And those are, I kind of think maybe he's talking in that area some.
I think it is. I think it's one of working out your salvation also involves what you believe. But make sure that you're continuing to grow, because I think, like you just said, to what may not be a struggle today, mm-hmm. I can't promise you it might not be in 5 years, or what you're struggling with today 5 years from now may not be anything you even have to sweat.
Well, Paul mentions, you don't have a problem eating meat that's been sacrificed to idols.
Right.
But some of them did. Yep. You know, some of them, that was a stumbling block. So I'm wondering if he's kind of going that way with that.
I mean, I think there's a piece of that.
Yeah.
I'm assuming you've both seen the movie Christmas Vacation.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
one of the all-time Christmas classics. It's probably, and I think when the analogy hit me earlier this week, it dawned on me, this is about as far opposite of when you would normally be watching that movie as you could possibly be. This is,
it's hot.
Middle of June. Yeah. So this is not normally the time you'd think of Christmas Vacation. But you know the scene where he's cannot get those lights to come on. He has decked out the house many, many different times, and they've checked every bulb 5,000 times, 10,000 strands, or light bulbs on 150 strands. And then all of a sudden, somebody goes in there and flips that one light switch, and they all come on. And he doesn't know what happened. He doesn't know how, and he thinks he solved it, and then it goes away.
I fixed it.
And then he's kicking everything. He's mad as he can be. And then all of a sudden, they flip the light switch on. To me, your spiritual health and your relationship with God is that light switch. All that we do in church and arguing over this sin or that sin, and is it even? I mean, I love these conversations, but even the spiritual versus physical versus all these things we're trying to work out is like going through all those little light bulbs. And if you don't have the switch turned on, it doesn't matter what you do.
You got to be connected to the power.
Right.
Very oftentimes, I mean, man, look, I know many times whether it's an appliance or something else, if you don't plug it in, doesn't matter. So you got to be plugged into the power source.
Yeah.
And I hated the other day. My internet service is a little bit sketchy. It'll be fine, then all of a sudden it might drop out, and I'll have to go reset the modem, this, that, and the other. And sometimes when you reset it, it doesn't work, so then I'm calling Spectrum. And it is one of those things that the first thing they ask is it plugged in? And I'm always like, are you kidding me? You don't ask me that.
Is the light on?
And he tells me, you would not believe how many times people call, this thing ain't working, I can't get my internet, why y'all are sorry, and you just hadn't plugged it in. And I said, you're kidding. He said, no, man. He said, most of my calls are one or two questions. Is it plugged in? And is it, basically, have you got the other one plugged into it?
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, wow.
It's a blue light on.
Yeah.
And I know that non-believers, or even pretend—I don't want to say pretend believers, but the people that are going through the motions—sometimes it can be probably a little annoying when you go to a Christian for advice, and we always tend to go to God as the answer. But He is. I mean, that's like that. It doesn't matter. There have been so many things. I'm getting worked up now. I'm sorry. There's been so many things in my life that I've tried to tackle.
Right.
That I have done every single. I mean. Checked every single box that I could possibly check to do this right. I know I did it right. I followed the manual perfectly. I followed my education perfectly. I followed everything that I've done and every single thing perfectly, and it just didn't work out. And then I've seen other things in my life that I didn't do anything right at all, and they worked out. And that's the only difference in any of them. I mean, it's just one of those things that I'm sorry, but common denominator is common denominator. At some point, you got to point it out. That's what it is. If he... With him, anything's possible, and without him, it doesn't matter what you do, you ain't going to get it right.
Yeah. I don't have anything to add to that. I think you got it.
Yeah.
I mean,
doing it.
Yeah, so but the reality of it is it ain't easy. But at the same time, you hit the nail on the head. The answer's there.
Yeah.
It's just, and I think too, oftentimes it's, and I don't want to, I'm not jinxing it or anything else, but I think sometimes it's almost too easy. Wait a minute, that's too easy. I just got to go to God. Well, I'm not saying you go to God and every one of your problems is fixed. Mm-mm. I'm just saying that you're going to have storms. It's just whether your house is going to fall down. Because the rain came on both houses, yeah. Matthew 7, the end of Matthew 7. The rain fell on both houses. It's not whether you're going to have troubles and distress and problems like that. The problem is your anchor going to hold? Is your house going to stay standing? And are you going to make it through the storms? How do you make it through the storms? Well, what's your foundation? And I think that's what we're saying is, because the storms are coming, what's your foundation going to be?
And you 100% are right about that. And I think the difference is he gives you the peace that you acknowledge and see the storm. Mm-hmm. You just, rather than dwelling and being so upset about the storm, you thank him for the umbrella. You thank him for the shelter. And you thank him for the fact that you can feel his peace, and you realize that no matter how bad the storm is, it actually isn't as bad as I think it should be, because you can feel that peace. So, yeah, the storms are still there, mm-hmm. but how your physical, mental, and emotional reactions to that storm are totally different.
And how much of that mental, physical, and emotional is grounded in truth?
Yeah.
And I think maybe that's the whole thing, is rather than looking at percentages or something like that, all four, three, ever how many areas you want to bring in need to be grounded in the truth,
yeah.
or based in the truth, or rooted in the truth.
Yeah, and I think that you're maybe one way of thinking it is that he can make you numb to the pain of the storms, but it's not even that. It's a step beyond that,
yeah.
because for sure. when I can't believe that I'm saying it, but I have felt positive, loving, joyous feelings in the middle of storms mm-hmm. that don't seem possible. You know what I mean? And that's better than numbness.
That's the right. Lord. That's right.
it's unbelievable.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that, because I know you can. I've always said, no, I think sometimes we have to be careful when we teach or when we preach that we make Christianity almost like a magic pill or a magic potion.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want it to be that.
Yeah.
It can't be.
It's not like going to the grocery store, you know, I want this, I want that, I want this. But the weather's going to change. Mm-hmm. I can just guarantee you, the weather's going to change.
I hope it gets cooler.
Yeah. You're going to get some rain. You're going to get a storm. You just might not know when, but it's not going to be sunny every day. Your prayers are going to be answered, but they're like the weather, too. Some you get, like summer's going to get here, but it might be early. It might be late. But it's coming. You can guarantee it. Your prayer, when you pray, he might give it. He might already answer it. He might answer it today. Well, you might have to wait. And he might even change it, which he does for me most of the time. So, thankfully, I'm glad he does, because I don't pray the way I should. I don't pray the way I'm supposed to pray. Of course, I don't think any of us do. But, but all our prayers are going to be answered.
Yeah.
But we just don't know when, and we don't know how they're going to change.
So based on that, circumstances change.
Mm-hmm.
Emotions change. I go back to, that's why it's so important to ground everything in the truth. Because what doesn't change is truth. What doesn't change is Christ. While the circumstances may change around it, the truth is always the truth. And I think in a society we live in, it's more of a relative truth versus an absolute truth. Is Jesus Lord? Absolutely. Is Jesus the only way to salvation? Absolutely. Did he come and promise that I'll give you life? Not only life, I'm going to give you abundant life. He sure did. So now, how do I make sure that I walk in that truth even when the world says, none of that's hogwash, or you can't do it that way, or no, you're just a placebo is all Jesus is, just a little crutch for people that are weak. And my answer is, you're exactly right. We are weak, and I can't make it on my own. I've seen what my life is when I make it on my own.
but thank goodness there's Christ.
And he might not even change your circumstances. But
no.
I love the way that the Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, before they even knew they were going to be delivered by fire, because they didn't. They just said, we're not going to bow down to you. I don't care what you
whether
do.
Whether he
not
chooses to answer or not.
Answer or not. We're committed. And I think we do not have, and I have to include myself on that too, a lot of Christianity in America, we don't have committed Christians. Committed to what? The truth is, we all want our desires to be met. We all want to be happy. And the Bible said, well, you're going to be happy, but you might not be too happy here. There's a lot of places in the Bible. Jeremiah was one. I don't think he had a very good life. Yeah. But,
no.
But then why did Solomon or David have such a great grand life? You know, the heroes of my faith is not the first part of chapter 11, but it's when you start seeing some of them were sawed to death.
Yeah,
it's all
in
half.
Yep.
And, yeah. And the heroes of my faith now, I've learned, is the people that are faithful to God. Not me. I can get up and do what I want to, pretty much. But the person that is in the nursing home, the person that has to lean on somebody to help. Mm-hmm. Why are they even here? Well, they're here because God wants them here. And they're the ones that I think, well, we all will, but when Jesus says, good and faithful servant, mm-hmm. they were good and faithful regardless. They couldn't do anything. They just, you know, people have to feed them, or, you know, your spouse dies, your grandchildren or grandchildren. Yeah, I really admire the older people in our church because they have been through it. I have one that, you know, 90 some years old and she can't get out of the house, but she's still faithful. Mm-hmm. I have one that comes on Sunday morning in a walker. She still comes. She don't feel like it. She's out of breath when she gets to her Sunday school class. I help her in. Try to most Sunday mornings. I have one that, you know, that is in the nursing home. That's she can't control her bladder, but she's still faithful. So that's the ones. That's the heroes that I have.
Well, and
I don't know if that's a good hero. That's
no. I think you're exactly right. And I think it's one of, oftentimes we put this emphasis of, oh, you got to do these great and mighty things for the Lord.
Right.
I think oftentimes the Lord just says, be persistent in the day in, day out, walk faithfully in the small things. I mean, he tests us in, hey, if you're going to be faithful in the small, then I'll trust you in the big. So, yeah, it's the persistence of the daily walk.
See, I do remember, my mother's still alive, but I remember her. She don't know who I am. Mm-hmm. Why is she still here?
Yeah, sorry.
She's can't go to the bathroom on her own. She can't get up. Why is she still here? I don't know. But now when I became a deacon and started going to see older people, that kind of started changing on me because I'm looking, why? You know, you can't do a whole lot. And then I, for some reason, I think I read the story about, you know, faithful servant in there. Then I realized it's being faithful when you can't do nothing. Being faithful regardless of your circumstances. You know, so to me, those are my heroes.
No, ain't nothing wrong with that.
And I love Billy Graham.
Sure.
Yeah, but I do know Billy Graham had like 2,000 people helping him, you know, getting everything set up too. But yeah. But they're out there, they're serving the Lord. And I always thought, when Jesus said, good and faithful servant, enter the kingdom of heaven, I always thought that was people that were on fire for God. But I never thought about it, that means people that can't do a whole lot, that, you know, can't even probably dress themselves too.
Yeah.
So, and I think it's easy to be faithful when everything's going right. But when nothing's going right, it's hard.
That's right.
Yeah. So, but anyway, that's just my thought.
No. I got nothing to add because a little bit I added was just be persistent in the day in, day out. Doesn't have to be the hard stuff. It doesn't have to be that we're going to go and preach a revival and Nineveh's going to repent. I think oftentimes it's, all right, will you be faithful just in the daily stuff?
Yeah.
And will you trust me with the small things and the big things?
And the other thing is, I mean, when I got here, I went over to someone's house today, and they had been watering that garden, or they were out there watering. She sat on the lowest step, because I said, and she was trying to, she wanted to write me a check because I was doing her tax work. And she was trying to get up like this,
Oh, yeah.
Can I help you? She said, no, I might bring you down. So I just stood there and carry conversation. I do have, she was looking at my legs. So I let her go, and she said, let me get up here on the second step. And then she had to get up on the third step, and then she had to grab this rail to get up.
Yeah.
Beautiful. And I'm thinking, my goodness. And she loves the Lord.
Yeah. And I know who you're talking about. Never had a negative thing to say hardly about anything.
And to go over there, it blesses me so much.
Yep.
It really does. To see somebody, that's an example I want to be.
I think I've almost been intentionally avoiding saying this, but now's probably perfect time to say it. Yeah, you said he doesn't always change your circumstances. Sometimes he does.
Yeah.
I'll tell you.
Sometimes it can get worse for you.
That's it. So in the time that we've been doing this podcast,
right,
it's almost a one-to-one inverse relationship of spiritual growth to physical happiness, physically right. Getting the things that I want. But here's the thing about that. I don't bring it up to pat myself on the back by any means. I bring it up to give two different examples and maybe button this whole thing up a little bit. Me and Gabe were playing basketball the other day, and I could use Reese has been hitting some golf balls with me a little bit too, right. So I'm getting to some time with both of them in that way. And I was telling Gabe the other day, he was shooting pretty decent, and he missed one. I said, get your elbow tucked in a little bit more. And he did that, and I said, okay, let's go over here and just do this drill to work on that. And he missed a bunch. And I said, you're going to miss a lot. Yeah, that's fine.
We're not interested right? in going in.
Well, then he's doing something else, and I said, now let's work on it. He's not using his legs very much. So I said, I want you to just literally start in a squat position, like all the way down to the ground, and then come up and shoot at the same time. He's like, you're crazy. I said, just do it. And I don't care if you make
it. Trust the process.
Right. That's right. Trust the process. I don't care if you make it or not. Don't think about making it. And then we did that for a little while, and then it was something else. And I said, okay, now I want you to throw it at the goal like you're throwing a football, because he's spinning it too much, getting his wrist in it too much. I said, again, don't worry about if you make it or not. And he's doing this. He's not made 2 out of 50, I bet. I mean, he's getting so aggravated. And I said, just don't worry about if you make it.
This ain't about score, right?
I promise. We're not keeping score right now. And then I finally said, all right, now just shoot some. I just threw in the ball. I said, think for everything that I've told you, and I know this is hard for you, but take everything that I've told you and forget about it. And just look at, now I want you to look at the rim and make sure your eyes are looking at the back of the rim when you shoot it.
Right.
And he made like 7 out of 10, something like that. And I told him, I said, look, a lot of what we're going to do is going to be this way, okay? You're going to struggle because it's not about making this shot now. It's not about, we're teaching you something.
It's about learning.
And I could do the same thing with Reese. She's frustrated because she wants to whack a driver about 220 yards and she can't do it yet. And I said, look, this is a process. Just trust the process.
Just pray you hit the ball.
Right. Now, I can also look at the situation and say, okay, well, for some people that wasn't the case, right? Jeremiah, you've got, I'm just getting into some of these Old Testament stories. I mean, there's plenty of Old Testament stories that then your comfort becomes, well, at least my situation's not as hard as theirs was. You know, that's your only encouragement. I can drive myself nuts trying to figure out why am I here right now? Is this to work on this? Why is he working on that? Why is he working on this? But it goes back to something I said on the first show. As long as I know I'm where he wants me, I don't care. Because that peace and that humility and that freedom comes from understanding that whatever he's doing, whether it's this big or I'm never going to know, if he's telling me to do it, he's the master. He knows what he's doing. I trust him.
Yep.
That's the whole difference in it. And that's, to me, that's that power switch. Once you acknowledge that he's smarter than you and knows what he's doing.
He's sovereign.
It doesn't matter. It shouldn't matter to you. It will. Yesterday it did. Mm-hmm. When I was riding here yesterday, it mattered to me a lot. And I was mad as a bull. And what did it get me? A bad attitude that I had to work on when I got to church. So it's like the more I can just sit back and say, it's whatever you're doing, I'm good with it.
Yeah, I got you.
You must have changed before I saw you last night.
That was while I was white knuckling it. Yeah. It didn't take long. About 5-10 minutes after I got here, I was good.
Okay.
But that first 5 or 10 minutes, I was white knuckling a little bit. I was smiling my way through it. Yeah.
What's tonight?
Last night was creation. Tonight is catastrophe and Oh, shoot. What's the C word they're using for corruption? Corruption and catastrophe. So tonight we saw Adam and Eve, saw creation. Tonight we see Adam and Eve, and we're going to go to Noah.
Okay. That was good. That was good, you know, about your, that one guy. He's very active.
Yeah.
Very active. I think his mother works here. But he loves to pray. Good boy.
That kid's short. Yeah. That kid's short. Yeah. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, and he's a good boy.
He called us out at snack time. He said, are we not going to pray before we eat our snacks?
but it tickled me that he was trying to do this. And ask you what it was. I had no clue. Yeah. But he's very, I love it.
He's a sharp
kid. On Wednesday nights, he comes to eat, because I think his mother leaves him, or she, not leaves him, but
right.
He comes up to eat with us.
Right.
Because he's in our group. And he is funny.
Oh, listen, he hit me up in the parking lot one day and began asking me questions to the point I was like, well, kid.
And he knows his Bible.
This guy is really thinking about some things.
He knows his Bible.
I made some comment, and he just looked at me, and he started asking me, and I said,
oh, and his prayer was, it was a good prayer. When he gave the blessing last night before the snack time, it was a good prayer. This boy knows, he knows what he's.
I love it.
But I do like what you talked about creation, that Big Bang Theory. Yeah, you know, I've always.
That was a really good, I love the
I've
Rick
always
house, yeah.
thought, why? Yeah, why do people believe that something so outrageous? But you know, if you don't know Christ, if you believe one lie, you can easily believe another one, and another one, and another one. It's the truth that is hard to believe for us. And you know, I cannot prove there is no God, that there is a God, but you can't prove there's no God.
Right.
I mean, I can't, because God's indivisible. Nobody will ever see him. We'll see Jesus, but the angels haven't even seen God. But that is probably the craziest theory I think I've ever heard in my life. Yeah.
And people buy it.
And hook, line, and sinker.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of those guys that present that is their own pride. They are self-worship.
Oh, yeah.
People, you know, oh, well, he really knows what he's talking about. He really doesn't, but, you know. People think he does. And it's almost like it's not a theory. It's a fact.
Oh, yeah.
You know, how it's
presented. Oh, yeah. They've got it as the fact of evolution. Well, it's a theory of evolution.
It's just the craziest thing. I believe I could tell them tornado goes through a junkyard.
Right.
Comes out with a Boeing 747. With Netflix, air condition. They would believe that.
Yeah.
Just a random.
How can something so random produce that?
Yeah. I mean, it's just...
See, I can understand the survival of the fittest side of evolution, and that if we have two people, that one's 7 feet tall and one's 4 feet tall, and all the trees are really, really tall, and all the food's on top of the trees, I can understand how over time the population would get taller.
Right.
I don't understand what you think happened to suddenly make a 4 foot human species spawned something that was 7 feet tall instead of four, and how all these mutations supposedly happened. And I've never bothered doing the math because it's so big, but I really, at the lifetime of a generation of a species, how many generations would it take for these tiny little things to add up evolving from apes or whatever they think we evolved from? It's not that I'm... but here's the thing to me. I don't need to disprove that for it to change my faith. I think that's the thing. Like,
yeah, and you're not going to prove it, and you're not going to disprove it per se, but you can get enough.
Evolution, they've never found the horse going into a...
Yeah.
Right.
That's macro. And, of course, that micro, within the species itself.
Oh, it happens.
It happens all the time.
It's called adaption. It's called mutations. It's called... Yeah, adapting to your circumstances. You might have a butterfly that becomes more white over time because in order to camouflage itself. God does those things. And so those things are real. I mean, if you think about every dog in America is kin, I know some dogs that don't look anything like each other, but they're all from that same breed.
And God loves a variety. We have multiple races.
Yeah.
You know, Orient. So he loves variety.
I think one of the things with the science stuff, especially the Big Bang Theory, I think that, and I mentioned it one time on here, so many people forget the theory part of that, okay? And they say, you know, it's Big Bang theory. And it's, well, yeah, we all came from, you know, it's all, it's a fact that it's 14 billion years old, is what they would say. But based on what? Based on the Big Bang theory. So, well, it's a fact that it's only 6,000 years old. Based on what? Based on the creation theory. What's the difference if you want to go that route?
I don't know. I wasn't there either one of them.
I wasn't there for either one of them.
Yeah, so they don't know.
And what the only thing about the, I loved your, for the listeners who didn't get to be in the class last night,
right.
You took a balloon and you popped it and you said, no, what are they? And you put some letters in there.
Yeah, I had
Renee
some
was really
beads,
worried.
Like those beads that you, little girls would make a bracelet that spells their name or their boyfriend's name or something like that. So I took a bunch of those beads and put it in a balloon.
Renee was worried you were going to suck them down.
So I blew the balloon up and then I popped it and I said, what are the chances that all those little blocks are going to form a book?
Yeah.
I mean, that anyone would land beside each other and make a word is hard enough, much less a book. Well,
we couldn't even find them.
Somewhere at the end, I might sweep it up and I'll find about 30 or 40. They went all over the place.
I saw one. I mean, they were just.
And that is kind of the theory of, okay, there was this one little molecule or some molecules, and all of a sudden an explosion happened, and bam-a-lam, we've got an Earth. We've got an atmosphere, we've got a sky, we've got ocean, we've got...
Yeah.
See, I just can't get that far.
Well,
that requires more faith than saying God said let there be light.
Yeah.
There was more possibility of you having those all those blocks come together in the Big Bang, because you were in a closed space.
Yep.
You know, they could have bounced off the wall and come back. Or,
I mean, I think in a nutshell, I would say it this way for I think this might be kind of how we got here. Let's take somebody, they open the book and they read, they say, I want to know the truth about everything. I want to know the truth about the world. And somebody said that this book is the truth and it holds a universal truth. They opened it up and they read Genesis and they said, oh, okay, cool. Then they read Exodus and they said, I don't know if this book's true or not. And then they read Leviticus and they said, this book's crazy. They don't know anything about it. And then they put it down. The rest of it, then they started coming up with other theories because that first book must not have been the truth.
Right.
So now I've got to disprove all. But the other example you gave was you showed a brick house and said, what if a brick factory blew up, what are the odds that which of these would it land in a pile of bricks or would it land into a house?
Would it land in rubble or a house?
Yeah. And it's fascinating to me how far people will go to try to, again, make it sound like it's all the Big Bang fact. And it's the only thing I can't quite reconcile with that from a science standpoint is, okay, well, if we're seeing light from billions of light years away, how did it get here? But at the same time, I don't have to dwell on that question very much because if God put it there, he can. I need
to
challenge God.
His vastness. That he, man.
Yeah, I'm not interested in getting into a math contest with God.
Right.
You know what I mean? Especially when the other argument, the best thing they've come up with is that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I guess we can time travel. I mean, at night, you can see the star that's supposed to be, what, 7, 8, 10 light years away, that light. I guess that's time travel. That's the only thing I know. You know, travel back in time or forward in time.
Right.
Well, because we don't know what we don't even know. Okay, let's say something. We see something that is supposedly, you know, 10 billion light years away. Well, then that means that the light left there 10 billion years ago.
Ooh.
We don't know where it was or what it was 10 billion years ago or whatever by that theory.
Right.
It could have, it's probably long disappeared, moved around wherever. It might have been 400 light years away when he sent the light, you know.
I don't even know how they come up with light years. I don't know the mathematics behind it. I don't even know if it's a valid theory or if it's a fact.
Yeah.
You can study space all you want to.
Yeah, I just don't know how do you know that's true? Light. How did you measure that? So, but I don't know.
Well, it just goes to show how big our God is, number one, and that he created all of this with just by speaking. I think that's, to me, it just blows me away. Mm-hmm. And I think down deep, I mean, that's something you gotta be willing to nail down. And I for one, am one that'll say, look, I just cannot get past how everything works together.
Mm-hmm.
When you've got air and CO2 and oxygen, when you've got how everything just works, I'm sorry, there is an intelligent design behind this baby.
Well, even our own bodies.
A design requires a designer. And so it's hard for me. Even some of the sharpest, and this is where my son Daniel is in biomedical engineering, he'll say, no, most of the professors I work with, they realize, no, when they start looking at the intricacies of the heart, the body, and how it just, nobody could, that doesn't just happen. That is a design, man, and that requires a designer.
All these little parts of our body that we don't give much thought to, when one of them stops working, we end up in a hospital for a month. You know what I mean? Like, those are the things that when, it's easy to say we take them for granted, but and we do, that is a part of it.
But let your spleen stop working.
Right, yeah. I mean, all of these little things, especially as you get later in life and they start to fail on you and you're taking 87 different medications or whatever, then you start to really realize how important all these pieces were to work together for all these years. And I think at the end of the day, you can study space all you want to, and I love space. I think it's one of the coolest things in the world. But at the end of the day, whether you take a scientific approach or a creation or a God approach, however you want to define that.
And I think you can do both.
Yeah. Whatever you're done with it, both paths are going to lead you to the exact same answer. It is way bigger than I am ever going to be able to comprehend.
It is a theory, and you settle it.
And if I end up landing somewhere that says it's way bigger than I'm ever going to understand, and science is already there. Science knows it's beyond our understanding.
Right.
Like, once they realized that the universe was expanding faster than the speed of light, I'm like, then y'all running out of... The information you have available is getting smaller and smaller and smaller. If you hadn't figured it out by now, you're not going to.
That's right.
So once I get to that point, okay, I'm never going to understand it. Do I want to not understand it with God or without God? Mm-hmm. Well, I think I'm going to go back to the thing that has proven itself to me here many times over.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And say, understands it. I may not.
And I don't need to understand
it. No.
That's right.
All I need is hold his hand. I think there's a song about that. You don't need to understand. All you need is to hold his hand.
By the way, I've heard that one.
It's a gospel song.
I did not know.
You're asleep in church or something.
Yeah.
I've always thought of, okay, it's binary. You're saved, you're in, you're not.
Right.
But is there a different... Are you rewarded more based on your righteousness here in heaven?
I think you're rewarded based on your obedience, which, again, righteousness, you can make the argument, same thing. And there are several crowns that are given out.
Just because we're all there doesn't mean we all have the same status, so to speak, if that's the right word.
I don't know if I'd say status as much as, okay, there's going to be folks who do
earn
crowns, and there's going to be people that have. But at the same time, all those crowns, you lay them at Jesus' feet.
Yeah.
So it's not a oh, yeah, look at me.
Yeah.
Again, I don't think there's going to be that. I don't know that there's going to be, oh, okay, because you are, and I may be wrong here. I mean, I could make an argument it could be that, okay, you did so much on earth, now you're going to be mayor of the left side
the
of
structure.
Heaven.
Yeah, there might be structural, but there's just not enough. The Bible just doesn't give us enough detail on what's going to happen to have doctrine on it. Everything's still, everybody's all over the place, and that's okay.
Yeah.
I think it just goes back to, yes, there will be rewards. Yes, people will be there.
Yeah.
And yes, you don't have to worry about it right now.
And God's throwing the party, so quit nitpicking over what he's going to serve.
So, but I mean, there might be, and there probably will be. There are certain angels that have different status. And so possibly, I don't know.
And there are 12 thrones.
But
at the same time, I'm not worried. But be obedient to what is before me. Kind of like your heroes. Be faithful in what God's called you to do today.
Yeah.
No. And you'll be happy anyway.
Yeah,
you won't have you won't have to worry about who's the top.
Yeah, I don't think there's going to be that pettiness that we have in this world of, well, they got this and I didn't.
So it must not be that important. It's not important enough that we need to know now.
Well, that's the thing. When we're there and we're all like him, I mean, like I said one time before, it's like just getting a little taste of it here. You start to realize, you know what? Trying to put it into words or box up what it's going to be like when we're up there, I can't imagine.
Yeah.
And God doesn't tell us a lot of things because we wouldn't understand it if he did. Revelation is still a big mystery.
Yep. Well, two-week break without you guys. I'm going to miss y'all for those two.
I don't know
what to do next week.
We're going to have communion before you leave, right?
Correct.
Yeah,
communion is this Sunday.
Yeah, we're going to have to pray for that for you. Hopefully it worked. I wasn't involved in that, what went on. But I heard about it. That was funny.
Oh, it was great. Well, both times. When we did it in fellowship hall, it was like Keystone's cops up in here.
What was that? Can that be on the show, or is this the end cut?
And I told them, I said, now, guys, different scenario. You got four sections. You got, it ain't as deep. I said, have y'all mapped out? Oh, yeah, yeah, we mapped it out. Well, I went to go hand the plates with the bread to the deacons, and there's one, when I picked it up, I said, there ain't no bread on nothing. They forgot. And so I looked at Bernice. I said, dang, there ain't no bread on this. I was trying to do it without anybody, catch this. And so I think I went ahead and just panned it out and, like, go pretend like you got something.
Okay, you got bread.
And he walked to the back and just waited.
Y'all might just want to do a buffet this time.
That's the thing, is we had to have a special meeting last Friday.
Yeah.
Bernice called it at 5 o'clock. And I'm like, we're meeting at 5 o'clock on Friday to do the Lord's Supper. That's like the easiest thing.
A week ahead of time.
Yeah, a week ahead of time. And he gave everybody their assignment. And he said, now, here's what we do. And it was funny because I'd had a funeral that afternoon. So I said, I want to cut and tie. And they came. And I said, boys, this was dress rehearsal. Why ain't you dressed for it? That kind of thing. But it's, And then what got me was somebody came back and said, some of these boys just don't know how to read where they're supposed to go. And I think he was one of the ones that was mad.
That was what was so funny.
Yeah.
I'd like to die when I heard that.
I was like, what did they go right in?
Speaking of judging. Is the face-to-face series over?
No, we still got some more.
Okay.
But we take this a break week, for communion.
Communion's usually a shorter one.
Yeah, we'll take a break next week because we're on 4th of July, so I'll do a kind of a righteousness exalts the nation type sermon.
Okay.
Just a little bit. In fact, the next two Sundays are not necessarily long Sundays because communion here at this place takes a long time for some reason.
Yeah.
It's just slow.
Yeah.
And so I'm not going to do a long sermon. Right now, it's still early, but right now I'm leaning towards 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, which is actually, I kind of quoted it a lot, and here lately I've been saying it a lot, so I think it's something the Lord has just really been impressing on myself, or impressing on me, that hey, let's get this right, and you're bought with a price, therefore glorify God with your body. You are not your own.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I'm going to kind of pinpoint to, and we talked about that a lot today, was these gray areas.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, it's not necessarily, oh, that's a sin, that isn't.
Yeah.
A lot of times it is, which one's going to glorify God the most?
Yeah.
And that's, because I'm from one of, I can take you to the Old Testament and say, you should never get tattoos. I'm not under the Old Testament law.
Yeah.
So now my question is, okay, should I get a tattoo? Number one, I'm not, because I don't like pain. And number two is, I'm not attached to anything on this world that close that I want it on my body.
Yeah.
Plus, I'm not going to do pain. But yeah. If somebody else goes and does it, I'm not judging them. I'm not saying they're going to hell, that's for sure. But I'm saying is, does that glorify God?
No.
And so for some, it may be a cross, or it might be something that, hey, they can use it to witness to people.
Yeah.
I'm good with that. Yeah. But now there's some who would argue, no, you don't ever. I mean, I had a former secretary that, man, if you came in with a tattoo, you were already three steps closer to hell than anybody else.
Yeah.
It used to be wrong. Don't get cremated because you have to be
cremation was one. Yeah.
I heard that. I've heard that one before, and I've thought, well, that's out of my hands.
That's a southern thing, not a gospel thing.
Yeah.
Now, what they do get it from is in the Old Testament, the pagans would burn the bodies. Yeah. And so that's why, because Israel was told, no, you don't need to do that.
Yeah.
And so I for one, I understand that, okay, I could see bringing that forward a little bit. Yeah. But again, I'm not under the law.
Yeah.
And as far as I'm concerned, you throw mine in the creek. Throw my body in the creek. I don't care.
I think that's really where that original analogy of Christmas vacation came from me is that the Pharisees, and trying to follow all these rules and trying to nitpick every single little bitty thing, it's like going and trying to check all those light bulbs. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, if it ain't plugged in, what difference does it make?
That's right. All right.
Well,
man,
I think we got two. I think that's probably what we end up doing. Woo. Is making it just two.
There you go.
Two little 45-minuteers for the next
one out per week.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which I'm not sure when I'm going to see how quick I can get to editing this week. So it might be a little bit before I get to it. But appreciate it, guys.
Oh, you're not going to be here next week.
Stand up. Golly. Yeah, believe me, man. I watch way more pro wrestling than I should. And I still do.
Still do.
Still do.
Still one of them guilty pleasure. Don't
it
go away.
Is. Listen, as Renee says, does it come on every night? It's every night but Thursday and Sunday.
Well, the matches are rigged, but they do a lot
of physical
stuff.
Don't you ruin it for him. He didn't know that.
I'm sorry. I didn't know.
They asked Ric Flair one time, Sally, Jesse, Raphael. I mean, when wrestling was so big, yeah. They asked him, is it fake? And he said, no, ma'am, it is not fake. He said, it is choreographed. Yes. But it is not fake.
Right.
And it may be determined who's going to
win.
But it ain't fake. He said, you go out there and let me throw you through a table or let me throw you through this. And he said, you'll find out it ain't fake. And
there's a whole bunch of stuff that I've seen that I think that looks like it's got to hurt.
Well, the mat kind of bounces. That kind of helps.
Gives you some.
Yeah.
But then they're throwing each other. I'm telling you, some of the things they do to each other now, they'll jump from 20, 30 feet high. And I mean, it's just, I'm kind of like, he wrestled for years. And I loved him. You always got to have a heel, and usually you had him from either Iran or Russia.
Yeah. And then Hulk kind of just took it over.
Hulk came on the scene in the early 80s, 82, 83, WrestleMania. And
right.
I can tell you, I used to buy wrestling magazines. I used to buy the action figures. Man, I was into it. Still love it. Nobody in my family will watch it with me. Now, Nate will come in there and sit down with me and kind of watch it and laugh. And, oh, look at there. He's still wrestling. He knows who the guys are. The other night, Sheamus was on there. He said, Sheamus is still wrestling? I said, oh, man, he's one of the big ones. So, yeah.